Welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. A Jelly Belly-fueled theme park journalist, because I just ate a handful of them before I recorded this. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am back. I am back from Tokyo, and I know you probably looked at the feed today and were like, oh, I'm expecting a Tokyo episode. That will be coming next week, because I packed such a bananas level amount of stuff into my Disney Destiny trip while I was at Disney World for, as this title says it, 48 hours. You won't believe the amount of things I did. You're going to hear about them today. You're going to hear about everything I did. We did so much that even I, a person known for doing too much, can't fathom what I did while there. Not only did I do all my Disney Destiny press event, which included like a mini sailing on the Disney Wish, a full nighttime event, I also went to all four parks. I went to all four parks and spent quality time at each of them. I dined, I danced, I did it all, and we're going to talk about it on this week's episode. But while I say that, I also need to mention, because I have to get it out of my head, I cannot wait for the Japan episode, because I also jammed so much into that trip to the point where my husband is never going to Tokyo with me again. It is never happening. It is never happening. We did so much. I am like in my office. I'm in my office right now at home. The walls are closing in, baby. They are closing in. I have to move things before I record the rest of this episode because I am surrounded by little piles of objects that I'm planning to make little like shopping haul videos about. And I'm like, can you hear this? Can you hear that through the mic? It's like, I have like baby gifts for a friend. And then I have the few things I got at Tokyo Disney Sea. And then I have the pharmacy things like face masks. And oh my God, I literally have a Duffy sticker stuck to my foot. Hold on. These are precious. I saw them on Instagram before I went that for, because it was Duffy and Friends' 20th anniversary, they were giving out these little free Duffy, like, illustrated stickers, and one of the cast members there gave it to me unprompted. Very thrilling. I don't want to step on those anymore. I want them to stay safe in case I use them on my laptop or something in the future. But enough about Japan. We are talking about Disney World today, and prepping this episode did somewhat alter my brain chemistry, because subscribers know this. I was posting about it a lot. I was on the fence and leaning towards no, but I'm still on the fence about going to Disney World over July 4th week, which if you know me, you know I hate being in Florida heat. It just makes me miserable. I can't function in it. It zaps me of all my energy, and my energy is required to do ridiculous things like all of Disney World in 48 hours. But just like, I don't know, like thinking again about Disney World and about this trip and how much fun we had, I was ready to go back and brave the elements just to be in the environment of Walt Disney World. And that is why I cannot wait for today's episode, because we have so many shenanigans to get into. Stick around. We will be right back with so much Disney World fun.
Welcome aboard the Turkish Airlines podcast channel. Are you ready for a new adventure?
Merhaba, passengers. This is your captain speaking. Welcome aboard the inaugural episode of the Widen Your World podcast, part of the Turkish Airlines series.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Welcome back to every detail you do not know about my Disney World bonanza. And I know that I push it to the limit. I got my foot on that pedal all the way down. Like when you're on Autopia and you push too hard and it goes, That is me. On a Disney vacation, I always do too much. But this trip, I didn't have a child with me. I was with someone who hadn't been to Disney World in a long, long, long time. We jammed it in a way I really haven't done since before the pandemic. It was extremely epic. It was wild. And I'm just so excited to tell you about this. I went to a concert last night. And you know, during a concert, you're supposed to be like chilling and enjoying the music. I spent the entire time being like, oh my God, I can't wait to do this podcast. I can't wait to talk about my trip. This feels like a phone call that I've been waiting to have with a friend. The friend is you. The friend is you. And now we're finally getting to do it. And I am so thrilled. I'm also going to tell you, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I am somewhat starting to film them. It is new to me. It is a little freaking me out a little because usually we're just audio. We're just audio. This is the time of day where I don't have to look at my own face. And now I'm looking at my own face while I record this. And I think it'll be fun to have some video clips out there. I don't know if any of these will make it. I don't know if I'm going to wait until I feel more seasoned and I don't know, stare at the camera more. I'm used to just like staring at my laptop, looking at a thin outline, not really thinking things through. But videos are asterisk, somewhat, possibly may be coming. There may be coming. There's a video happening right now. You may see a video of this one day. And it's always weird to me when you like see your podcast that you listen to a lot and you're like, oh, that is not, I picture them sitting on certain chairs, certain things. I'm standing. I prefer to record standing. I feel more awake. I move my arms. I can be limber. But yeah, we're going to attempt to take videos because I need to. I'm supposed to. That's part of the job. And we're going to do it. Also, my hair looks weirdly good today, even though I air dried it yesterday. So I don't feel too bad about that. Okay. That said, keep in note in your head that you might see me yell about these things in the future. It's just weird. This is an audio. I did this to like not be on camera. And now all roads lead to on camera. I'm supposed to be a journalist. I don't know what happened. Now I'm sitting in an office that I intended to just clickety-clack type on for years, and now I'm recording in a microphone and also on a video. It's just strange. It's just like, how did my life take me here? I have a little camera that is standing on a box of a Mr. Potato Head. I mean, that actually adds up. That feels very me. But still, it's something new. We're trying it. We're not going to be scared. We're going to give it a go. It's like encouraging someone to go on a roller coaster that they fear. We're just going to go for it, and it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And maybe it'll be good. And maybe you'll like them. And maybe you'll see them. And maybe you won't. But that doesn't matter because we are talking about my unbelievable Disney World trip. Like truly one for the ages. If you haven't been to Disney World, or I guess Disneyland, depending on where you're going, if you haven't traveled to a Disney park with a friend lately, let me tell you to book the trip. I had so much fun because my mom's listening to this and I know my mom is going to be like, oh, you don't have fun with me? You don't have fun with me? Mom, that is not it. You know, I love to take you. I love to take you everywhere. You're my travel partner, my ride or die for life. But it is really fun to go to one of your favorite places in the world with someone who it's not normal for them. Like it's not, my mom and I go to Disney World minimum once a year, minimum. But to go with someone who's like, oh my God, looking at things a different way, looking at details a different way, going on rides that they know nothing about, someone who isn't involved in the discourse. It's really fascinating and it's really fun. And I highly, highly recommend it. You never really know what it's like traveling with a friend that you haven't flown with. My friend Jamie and I hadn't flown. We've gone on vacations together. She came on a work trip with me many years ago to Las Vegas. But we haven't flown together. And we did have this little text exchange before we left where we were like, so are you like an arrive? Like, what time are you arriving? Like, are you like an arrive early person? Or like, are you an arrive late person? And I'm glad we did that because my best friend, Alex, who I've been on a few Disney trips with at this point, I didn't know, like when I found out that one of my best friends was a late to the airport person, like doesn't care about lining up early. I was like, oh my God, I didn't know this. It's like finding out a secret about a loved one. But Jamie and I were on the same page, on the same level, and we had a weirdly blissful flight. Everything was great. They had Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I got so much work done. I don't know what it is about an airplane, but I am locked in. I don't get work done anywhere else at the level that I do. It is like when I was in college, I worked out of, and I know we're not even at Disney World yet, we're gonna get there. But when I was in college, my on-campus quad apartment. It was right by the engineering library and they had the nicest library because like we had a really good engineering school and like those people need to study. And so I would always study there and it was like, oh my God, that's the last time that I really remember being locked in. So you were in that little box. You know what a library desk at a college, how it's like has the walls around you so you can't see anything else. You're just boom, locked in. Like when you're little and you put a folder up and you like fold a folder so you can like take a test. That's what it was like. When I'm on an airplane, I got so much work done. I got to watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And I turned to Jamie near the end of the flight, my friend who I was traveling with. And I was like, so it's a half hour from the airport to the Contemporary where we were staying. It's a half hour. We can add 45 minutes to the journey and stop at Gideon's? And Jamie was like, let's do it. So on the plane, we decide we're not going to the hotel. We're going to blow up our plans for that night. And we are going to make a lengthy pit stop at Gideon's Cookies. We went to East End Market because truly, 45 minutes extra of driving to East End Market is faster than trying to navigate Disney Springs. I didn't want to bring luggage to Disney Springs. I don't want to get there and have them be like, it's a 4-hour wait. Like, no, I needed to get cookies. We got there. They had the cookies. They did not have the icing cups or cake. It was a Sunday early evening. Like they ran out of stuff. There was a market across the street where I guess everyone like loaded up on icing, but we got chocolate dipped cookie bites. You know, they sell the bag of the cookie bites. They had those, but they were the key lime pie flavor, which I had never gotten around to trying. So I got to have the key lime pie dipped chocolate Gideon's. And then we also got just a bunch of Gideon's cookies to bring home. My husband really likes frozen cookies. So I bring them home, I chop them up, and then I put them in the freezer. And then every night he like takes out some pieces until they're all gone and he eats my whole Gideon's stash and I yell at him about it. But hey, then I can basically con him into a reason for why I have to go back to Orlando. So it all really works out. It all really works out. We chilled at Gideon's. We had a great time. So excited to be in Florida. So thrilling. We got to the hotel and that's when the magic really started, because there was something about this trip where everything just, it just broke the right way. Everything just worked out perfectly. It was so strange, but it was all these little things that just kept on happening. The trip just went really well. I don't know. It was just one of those trips where like sometimes it can go the other way. Things can cascade negatively on a Disney trip and it's like, oh, one thing after another, I'm going to lose my mind. This time, it just kind of worked. Now, we were booked there for this Disney Destiny trip that we talked about in the podcast last week. So I did not book my own hotel room. That was booked by Disney Cruise Line. And a lot of times at media events, there's certain places you end up staying. Sometimes it's like everyone's a Coronado. Lately, it's been a lot of everyone is at Disney's Contemporary Resort in the Garden Wing. Now, I have stayed in the Contemporary Resort Garden Wing many times, sometimes paid, sometimes as part of a work event. And what I'm going to say is that it's a bit of a, it's, I don't want to, how am I going to say this? I don't want to say that it feels like, what if the Grand Hotel you want to stay in has a motel out back? Because that's not entirely truthful. The rooms are pretty good. The rooms themselves are not bad. It is not a different level of quality. It's just a little, you're so close to the magic. You're so close. You want to be in that A-frame. Oh, you want to see the Mary Blair. Oh, you want to see the monorail whooshing by. And yet you're not, you're almost there. You're almost there. You get to walk to the parks. That's great. You get to get a bunch of perks at the Contemporary. That's also great. However, you're not at the big triangle building. And sometimes it just hurts a little. Sometimes it's hard to walk through and then be like, cool, another 5 minutes to our room. It's just a little sad. And I say that, listen, on this trip, I was there to go for Disney Cruise Line. I'm happy with it. I'm not complaining about lodging on a trip I'm not paying for. That does not feel fair. However, what I will say is that the first time I stayed at the Garden Wing at the Disney Contemporary Resort, I thought it was in the A-frame. I thought it was in the main building. It was the first year that I became a Disney person. As you know, I went on my bachelorette party to Disney World in February. I got married in April. And then in September, for my husband's birthday, I fooled him into going back. I said, I heard that Labor Day weekend is quiet. That's back when that used to be true. And so we went and I booked the Contemporary. And I was like, you're going to see the monorail every morning when you wake up. It's going to be amazing. And then we get there and I'm like, oh my God, I booked a room out back, around the corner, and down the hall. I did not know. And I think it is a little tricky for people who don't do this a lot to know that that is not, it's Contemporary adjacent. The room that we got though, I had never gotten one that faced the water. It was kind of fun. It kind of felt like we were like waking up somewhere different from Disney World. That was thrilling. But again, it depends, personal preference. I just like to stay on the monorail. That's not the point of this trip though. That's not the point of this. Because again, everything worked out on this trip. We got back to the room, we unpacked our bags, we changed, and we were like, we're going to Epcot. We suited and booted and hopped on an empty monorail to Epcot, which began our essentially perfect evening, because never have I had weather this good at Disney. I just kept walking around going, this has never happened. This has never happened. It was a little breeze, a little sun. My face was not sweating. I didn't need to hold the fans that I brought. It was 7 p.m. and it was spring, but still, it was just so lovely out. And when we arrived at Epcot, we step off the monorail. Ooh, we're already done with security. Ooh, we're going to go to Guardians. So excited. When we got there, I realized that there is a skill that I have in me that I didn't quite know about. I, as everyone who's ever heard me speak knows, I have extreme ADHD. It affects every corner of my life. However, my severe time blindness that causes me to be late constantly when I'm at home does not apply at Disney World. It's like from the moment I walked in, I looked at my watch and knew exactly what we could do before the park closed at 9. Like, I was like, okay, if we go to Gideon's, it's going to cut this, and then I have to move this, and I have to move this. And I knew we had an hour and 45 minutes, which was exactly enough time to do Guardians, Figment, Remy, and eat a little food. And when I tell you, we were sprinting to Remy's to make it into the ride at 8:59, I was on the money. It felt like, you know when people talk about like athletes who have a really good game, who just like everything was going their way, they just felt the momentum, that's how they won the championship. That is me at Epcot with 2 hours to cram in an entire park of experiences. And I executed flawlessly. I thrive in this environment. Even though I would have paid so much money, so much hard cash out of my pocket to skip the Guardians pre-show so that I could have done more while we were at Epcot. My friend Jamie loves thrill rides, but had never been on Guardians. And going on Guardians with Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, full name, just so we all are on the same page. Going with someone on that ride who does not know what is going to happen and doesn't know what to expect is one of the best feelings in the entire world. In the entire world. Now, I did brief her and I was like, listen, we're going to skip the line because we had, almost said fast passes. What year is it? We had a lightning lane to skip the line. We weren't going to wait. We were going to roll up. And I told her, like, don't expect to board this ride quickly. Jamie goes to Disneyland all the time. She had been to Disney World before multiple times when younger, but hadn't been back since this ride opened. And I was like, there's a lot of pre-show here. Like it's kind of like Rise of the Resistance, but it just drags. It just drags. And here's what I realized. The ride is too good. The ride is too good that everyone knows how good it is. That's why they're racing to that door. Jamie, again, who hadn't been on this, followed everyone else to the door of the final pre-show, waiting to get out. And she's like, oh, I thought that's what we were supposed to do because that's how many people were doing it. They made too good of a ride. They made it too good and everyone just wants to get directly to it. You went on the ride. Fantastic. Fantastic. Every time I go on, I can't believe how long it is. I also can't believe that when it opened, I went on 17 times in a row. 17 times in a row? How did I not get a concussion? 17 times. Your body is not supposed to go on Cosmic Rewind 17 times in a row, I can tell you that. I felt fine. I felt a little dizzy after, but like, it's just such a good ride that I physically could not say no to unlimited rides. I just can't help myself. From there, we were bewildered. We walked over to Journey into Imagination with Figment. Stopped to get a little popcorn, went on Figment. What a joy. Again, I'm not a Figment girly per se, but I can appreciate the aesthetic. And if they change it, I will also ride along with you. Unless they change it positively, then we're here for it. What happened to those Figment movies, by the way? Weren't we supposed to get like a bunch of Figment shows or like treatments? Wasn't like Seth Rogen working on it? What was that? Was that just part of like the Disney Plus boom and it just faded away? I gotta look back on that because I don't remember. Okay, after that, we had about 40 or so minutes to make it through World Showcase to Remy's and have some food. And I was like watching the clock and I was like, we have enough time. We can make this happen. I didn't want to admit this on mic, but I have a regret and I have an apology that I have to make publicly. And I do need to formally apologize for the fact that I have been pretty rude to everyone that enjoys an Epcot festival. Quite rude, in fact. I have told you that temporary food shouldn't exist. I have told you that I didn't spend this much money to come here and stand over a trash can to eat a tiny plate of overpriced food. I don't think what happens in those shacks is going to be delicious. And I think that if the food was that good, it would be on the permanent menu at Epcot. These are all things I have said on prior episodes. However, on this trip, I did stop at one of those tiny huts because I was hungry. And I did order food. And when I tell you, It was one of the best things I've ever eaten at Epcot, ever, in my entire life. One of the best pieces of food I've ever had at a theme park came out of one of those tiny, deeply air-conditioned huts. I am shocked. I am guilty. I feel really bad. I am so sorry that I have really pooped on all of your festival dreams. People travel to these. I understand. I respect. I do not participate. But now I think I might have to, because what we ordered was so divine that it has changed my entire outlook on Epcot festivals. And I can't, I never, not on my bingo card, never would have thought I would say this. But maybe festivals are good. Now, you cannot use this to get me to do Run Disney. Don't even think about it. I will not be doing Run Disney. But I am open to a flower garden, to a farts, a festival of the arts, if you're not familiar, to food and wine. Maybe just a little. And even as I say that, I'm like, ugh, food and wine, I'm not interested. But what we had was that good. It was the giant, quote, it's in quote unquote, I think to be like, don't get too excited. It is a festival after all. We are a corporation. Giant tostada de carne. Carne. Why did I say carne? Carne. Not like Reeve Carney. Carne. It was a Oaxacan tostada that had beef, guacamole, jicama, pumpkin seeds, and salsa. Oh no, I don't know how to pronounce it. Maja. If we're talking Spanish, it's gotta be salsa maja. It was incredible. It was $11.50, but it is Disney Dining Plan snack credit eligible. We ate this for dinner. If you are on the Disney Dining Plan, do not miss this. It was delicious, and it was actually spicy. It was actually not like Disney spicy. It was actually good. Jamie, again, who is not Disney pilled the way that we are, was like, this feels like we're just hanging out at home in LA having really good Mexican food. It was that good. We sat on the rocks by the margarita stand. If you know, you know. That's like basically a table when it comes to Epcot. And we scarfed it down. We were so depleted. Again, this night was bliss. Perfect weather. So easy breezy. So fun. Eating our little tostada. Walked around. World Showcase empty. How? Why? I don't know. I guess because we flew in on a Sunday, then maybe everyone left for the weekend to go home because it was the end of spring break. I'm not even going to question it. I've been told I pronounced this next word wrong, and I've worked really hard to say it right, so I hope this is correct. There's two different pronunciations online, and I'm just trying to do right by all my German listeners. But park was empty. Walked through the Germany Pavilion. Went to Caramel Kusha? The internet also says Kucha, which I don't think that's the way I'm supposed to say. Caramel Kucha, obviously home of the Werther's house within our favorite place in the world. I went to Caramel Kucha. I got caramel popcorn. Empty. The whole place is empty. I got to walk around and do this. Just sniff. Just breathe in the scent. And I think I did enough where I locked it into my brain where now when I think of it, I can smell it. I think it was so pure because there was nobody else in there. I'm not exaggerating. There was nobody in there. It was me, Jamie, and the cast member working the register. It was empty. It was heaven. I got to breathe in as much caramel scented air as I could. I love you, Werther's. And I bought a caramel s'more. Now, I don't usually buy case stuff. I usually buy caramel popcorn. And that night I was like, I'm doing it. I'm trying something new. And I loved it. Now, the first few bites were of the graham cracker, not the actual, like, I really wanted caramel and marshmallow. That was the end goal I was going for. And I was getting there and I bit the graham crackers. The graham cracker's like a little stale just because, you know, it's like a baked good and it's locked in. Like a graham cracker isn't like fresh out of the bag. It's like been coated in chocolate and sitting there. But it was so good. It was like one of my favorite new things. And I know it's not new. It's new to me. It's new to me. After being stopped dead in our tracks for a Kermit topiary, as one should, we made it just in time for Remy's. We also just barely missed the fireworks. Like we got out and I was like, fireworks, and we ran. And that was actually the last firework. But it really gave us enough time to like slowly meander out. And that was it for the night. I would say if I was responsible and not sick in the head obsessed with this place. Because the night was so perfect, we just kept on going. I mean, we had to go back to our hotel through the monorail, and we were going to go past other hotels anyway. So we stopped at the Grand Floridian for a couple more snacks and to hang out. I am so glad we did this. And it was so refreshing to be here with someone who hadn't been here in a while. Because we walked in and Jamie was just wowed by the lobby of the atrium. To the point where we walk downstairs and she's like, I gotta take in the ceiling. Cause you know, it's like so high and beautiful. Jamie laid down on the carpet of the lobby and just took it in. And I am so glad she did this because on our way out, They began construction for the new lobby bar that's going to be there. That was the last moment Jamie could have taken in the hotel in its purest form. We like actually got to pay respect to the Grand Floridian we know and love before it kind of changes forever with that wackadoo birdcage bar or whatever they're putting in the lobby. Why don't they just open the tea plate in the back? The tea room, whatever it's called. Why don't they just open that place? Why don't they just open the actual venue, the bar that they had in the lobby again? Why don't they bring out a jazz band? I don't know. Why do they do this birdcage thing? Anyway, anytime they change the Grand Floridian, I kind of freak out and then it's fine. But I am going to freak out in the process. It's just how I am. It's just how I am. Then they change it and I'm like, okay, I can't imagine it any other way. Fine. Maybe you know what you're doing. But still, like, a change to the Grand Floridian lobby is so upsetting to me and I hope it's okay. I just hope. Do we need that? Okay. Again, gotta calm down. We got to lock in the final moment, not even knowing it, of the Grand Floridian as is, and I'm so grateful for it. We went to Gasparilla Island Grill, which was open till like midnight, which was incredible. And I don't want to say this on mic, but I think we have to discuss this. I don't want to say it because like gatekeeping is not good, but gatekeeping is also kind of worth it sometimes. Because I'm going to say this, and if you work at Disney, you are legally not allowed to share this with anyone. This is like whatever HIPAA between podcaster and audience is. Do not call up accounting. Do not email someone you know at finance at the Walt Disney Company. Do not tell them this. Gasparilla Island Grill low-key has missed price hikes. The prices there do not line up with the prices throughout the resort. I'm whispering, even though I know you can hear me. Their prices cannot be beat. Everything should be $5 to $6 more, and it's not. And I don't know how long we're going to have it. And I really hope this isn't the kiss of death. Maybe them redoing the lobby, we'll have them reevaluate things. But go to Gasparilla Island Grill sooner than later. They have salads with protein. You can pick as many ingredients as you want. And it is so affordable. We split a salad with a bunch of toppings. We got mac and cheese. Also, the mac and cheese was like $9 and came with fries. Okay, it's the best mac and cheese. It's the best resort mac and cheese. Again, go to Gasparilla Island Grill. You're going to be surprised and save some money. It was amazing. We had a great time just sitting outside and gabbing. Earlier in the night, when we were sitting eating our Mexican food at Epcot, Jamie was like, oh, are there mosquitoes here? And I'm like, oh no, it's Disney. They blast those out of there. Yeah, I got it straight up attacked at Grand Floridian. All the mosquitoes are outside Gasparilla Island Grill and they all feasted on me. I had welts on my legs. It was pretty wild, but also I was so happy. I was like, yeah, I don't care. I'm not moving. I'm eating my French fries, dipping them in mac and cheese, eating my salad. Had a great, great time. Came back last, again, so lucky. Caught the last monorail, the very last one of the night from Grand Floridian, made it back into Contemporary. Nobody was there. Got to like take in the Mary Blair artwork on our own, just really cherish it. And we almost immediately hit the hay because the next day was a doozy. We woke up so early. It was still dark out. And we were out of the room by, it must have been 7:15 in the morning. For two California girlies, that is not easy. We woke up at essentially 3 a.m. in our bodies, but we got to boogieing because we had so much fun ahead that day. I mean, it was just so much fun to get dressed for this trip because we knew we'd be inside all day. This was the day where we had a breakfast and we took an air-conditioned bus to the Disney Wish and then we came back. And it was really fun to be like, I'm in Orlando, but I can wear a fuzzy cardigan. When else can that happen during spring break time? No, really, getting dressed was just a joy because that's the pleasure of being friends with Jamie. Jamie is brilliant, has an unbelievable fashion mind, is easily the most creative person I know, so artistic, just so inspiring, so colorful. And every outfit she pulled out of her suitcase was like, oh, another treasure. We also did not, I posted about this on Instagram, but we did not coordinate our outfits, never talked about them. Only talked about like, do I need a coat? And every single day, our outfits fully vibed, like fully matched and we didn't even intend it. It was, listen, that's friendship. And I really loved it. We started at the villain breakfast, which I already told you about in the Disney Destiny episode. I'm not going to repeat anything from that one. But what I didn't mention is that that day, that fateful Monday morning where I lacked sleep and I really needed a few hours more, that began my addiction to Joffrey's coffee. And remember, I am a Starbucks girly. I run a Facebook group named after cold foam, named after a topping that Starbucks essentially first marketed to the masses. And yet, I don't care. I love Joffrey's now. I love Joffrey's. Did I have it 4-5 times in the span of 48 hours on this trip? You bet I did. I am hooked, and having that Joffrey stand in the Contemporary lobby is so clutch. Just like walking from our room being like, oh yeah, I'm about to get Joffrey's. I'm going to walk into the park. Heaven. Love Joffrey's. I finally, again, this trip really changed me. I'm now into festivals. I'm now into Joffrey's. Like this, I've really leveled up in terms of my Disney fandom. That day, as you know, we did all that Destiny stuff. And when we came back, we had like a little less than 2 hours to rest and get ready for the evening festivities. It was a long morning. I mean, we woke up early. We went to Port Canaveral and back. So we decided to just like take it easy and kind of just like rest and relax in the room and like scroll on our phones and soak up the air conditioning is what I would say if I was normal, but I am not. So we got changed and we speed walked to the Magic Kingdom to fit in a little park time before the rest of the night. I mean, how could I not? You're walking distance from the Magic Kingdom. It's right there. We had to do it. We didn't know if we would go later that night. We didn't know how late the event went, really. We didn't know if like everyone would go decide to do something and we'd join them. We had no idea. So we crammed it in. It was ill-advised. Oh, we were very tired, but we got it done. We went on Jamie's first ride on Tron. We did Space Mountain. And if you at this point in the podcast are like, how did you do all these rides in no time when you didn't even know your timing from the event? So how would you have booked your Lightning Lanes? Like what? There's like, the math isn't mathing. And here's an inside look. I don't know if I've talked about this on Very Amusing before, but sometimes for media events, not always, sometimes we are given these open-ended Lightning Lanes. It has changed a little from back when it was the FastPass system, then Genie Plus. Now, because of Lightning Lane, we're kind of given two different versions of them. Sometimes you're given one that applies to all of the regular attractions, and then you're given one that applies to all of them and the individual ones. So like your Guardians, your Tron, things like that. On this trip, we were given 3 on that Epcot day. We used one for Figment, whatever. We wanted to go on Figment. And then on this day, we were given 2. The following day, we were, well, actually, put a pin in that because that something happened on the last day that we're gonna talk about separately. But we were able to go on Tron and Space Mountain and skip the lines on those because, you know, our schedule's real wackadoo. And so it just makes it easier when there's a big group trip. They give us those. It is one of the greatest perks that I ever have access to. I have no control over it. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But when it happens, you can bet that I'm going to be burning the candle at both ends so that I can use those passes. Because anytime you can go on Tron and not pay money and get on board, I'm going to be doing it. Listen, I don't like to talk about this stuff sometimes, but the whole point of the podcast is to talk about the stories and secrets and shenanigans. And this is a secret. And so I'm telling you, I think that's why a lot of times, I want to be careful with my words. A lot of times people who don't come here a lot will maybe come for like a one random like work event and be like, wow, like it was so easy to get through Disney World. And it's like, if you're not sweating 7 days before booking this, like, or 3, sweating a lot more 3 days in advance, it's a different ballgame. But sometimes on a trip like this, it is really, really nice. It's really nice. And again, like, I'm just being honest, but I don't want to sound like I'm being like, we went on Tron, we didn't wait in line. It was amazing. Like, it's amazing. It's a wonderful perk, but I also know what it's like when you got to pay for it because I pay for it all the time. With my annual pass, when I go on my little vacations with my family, I'm buying them and it's stressful. It's really stressful to be like, I know I'm going to be here at 11 a.m. with a toddler. Not easy. Not chill sometimes, but this trip rocked. We did a few rides. We made it back. We ended up arriving a little late to the Destiny events that night with the Cruella bar pop-up, all that stuff. I actually almost missed Cruella. I feel really bad about it. Melanie, if you're listening, I'm really sorry. I'm not kidding. I told you I was going to feel guilty for like 6 to 7 months, and I am. I'm still in the guilt window. I'm really sorry. I was late. And then, Melanie, you know, I'm sorry. But after a full day on a cruise ship, a little break at Magic Kingdom, and after this wild 2-part dinner that we went to, that I actually overstayed my welcome at, I was literally one of the last ones to leave. Jamie and I were like, okay, now we're feeling it. Now we're tired. Let's go back. Let's rest. We have 3 parks the next day. Let's just go chill. Which is what I would have said if I wasn't only there for 48 hours. So we went back and changed. We went to the parks. Again, I can't help myself. We went to the parks again and we did some stuff. More on our night at Magic Kingdom and our unbelievably jam-packed day and the weird magic that we did not expect that was made for us right after this break. Do you miss that feeling of enjoying getting dressed and just feel dread when you stand in your closet these days? Because that's exactly how I feel. There's so much time and money invested in shopping and buying new things and not knowing if they're going to wrinkle immediately or be an absolute waste and you'll never want to wear it again. And I am so happy to have found the solution to all of this. And that is a clothing rental membership from Armoire. Now, I wasn't always a clothing rental girly. I like to mate for life with my wardrobe. But I learned firsthand from Armoire that it is the best way to try out new styles and items in clothing because in the end, you can buy the clothes that you're renting. And I have! Armoire helped me break out of my style rut and try new silhouettes and shapes that I loved without having to commit thousands to them outright. And really, no matter what you're looking for, Armoire's got it. You can take a quick 5-minute style quiz, choose items from their dynamic personalized closet made just for you, and have it delivered to your door in as little as 2 days. When you're ready for something else, just swap it out for more new-to-you styles. No laundry required. I speak for many of us when I say our lives have changed a lot in the past few years, and I'm looking at a closet full of clothes that are for a former version of me that no longer exists. I've been pretty timid about trying new things and trying new pants and trying on new outfits that I don't want to buy them, it's too much. But Armoire helped me find a snakeskin skirt, something I never would have purchased, that has really kicked off a whole new wardrobe refresh for me. And I love that I can keep trying new things with no commitment, thanks to them. If you're anything like me, your wardrobe is an extension of who you are, and when it's wrong, it feels off. Armoire can help you break out of a style rut, help you hone in on your personal style, and even make it easier to get dressed in the mornings. They can even help you on your postpartum journey without having to buy a whole new wardrobe in different sizes. All of it. I ride for Armoire because as someone who loves clothes and loves the clothes they own, I needed help and they were there to help me. Again, my snakeskin skirt is so cute. And even though I dress pretty cuckoo bananas, I fell in love with a lime green trench coat and also the perfect basic black sweater, both of which I got on Armoire. So trust me when I say Armoire is for everybody. It's woman-founded, it's woman-led, and it's beloved by this woman. Right now, you can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off your first month. That is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/amusing. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Welcome aboard the Turkish Airlines podcast channel. Are you ready for a new adventure?
Merhaba, passengers. This is your captain speaking. Welcome aboard the inaugural episode of the Widen Your World podcast, part of the Turkish Airlines series.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Welcome back. And we are talking about our night at Magic Kingdom. We waltzed over, tired, a little haggard, but we still had our wits about us. We get there and I realize Jamie has not seen Happily Ever After. And I actually had barely seen Happily Ever After since it returned. I think I'd only seen it once, maybe twice, which for me, an HEA stan, is like kind of unacceptable. We get there and we got there at that point in the crowd where, if you know what I'm talking about, like, they're in the fill in the middle spot where it's like, okay, shut it down. Just shove people down the center. Let them watch from the middle. So I was there and I'm like, I never watch fireworks in there. I'm usually behind the castle. I'm to the side. I like to be away from the crowd. I don't need a perfect view. Like, I am really like, I'm preferencing the way I feel in my surroundings over getting a great shot of the show. Like, I'm happy behind the castle chilling. That's usually something I'm into. But I was with Jamie and I hadn't seen it in a while. And I was like, you know, let's just do it. We're here. It starts in like 10 minutes. Let's just do it. So we committed and we stood there. And it was fantastic. We could see everything. We could see Tinkerbell, the fireworks dead center. Everything was great. The sound was fantastic. It was perfect. And then it was time to go. And I hadn't stood in, like, we're talking like the crowd, like capital T, capital C, the crowd for fireworks at Magic Kingdom in a long time. In a long, long time. Because like I said, I always just prefer a bad view over the chaos. And it's been probably 6 or 7 years since I was like in the muck, just like in the middle, in a crowd, no path anywhere to be seen. And I cannot believe what they're doing for crowd control. Because I've always seen, you know, the lights waving, go, 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 the pathways, like this way to Fantasyland, boom, boom, boom. They're moving people through. That's happening on the outskirts. Do they know what's happening in the middle? Do they know the absolute mosh pit disaster that is happening in the middle? I don't know if they do, because all of those cast members are working so hard to move the crowds. But if you're watching the show and you don't want to leave after because the park is open for like a couple more hours, you kind of can't move. We tried to go and exit, basically wanted to like exit, go to Main Street, and then hang a left and go around to Tomorrowland. And when we tried to do that, we were redirected back up against the stream. And what the issue was that in that front crowd, we're talking like not like deep hub, but just like above Main Street, just that big old space, like by the fountain. Like we were, it was, how do we even explain this? We were trying to go one way. Everyone else was trying to go another way. And so nobody could move. It was not terrifying, but just really wild. Really wild, because I've only seen, you know, path people going. Like, you go this way. If you want to stay in the park, you go this way. And this was just a clump of people where, like, you weren't anywhere near anyone who worked there. It just felt a little un-Disney and a little strange. And I'm curious if any of you have felt this way lately. Was this a fluke? Is this how it always is? Do I just not know because I'm never in that area? But I hadn't seen anything like that in a long, long, long time. And it just struck me as really, really odd. Like, we were having a great time, having a gas, watching the show. And then we were like, oh my God, hold my hand. I don't know if we're going to get out of here. It was a little scary. Like, if someone was angry or upset, it could have been kind of bad. Do they know this is happening? I hope they know and like this is abnormal, because it was treacherous to get out of there. I will not be seeing Happily Ever After from that vantage point for a long time, even though it is so beautiful when you're right in the middle. But yeah, it was pretty strange. Pretty strange. We did finally make it out. A breath of fresh air. And we beelined straight to the people mover. We hadn't done it yet. A nighttime people mover. Just excellent. I also realized Jamie hadn't seen Sunny Eclipse in a while, and we went to visit him. Not like pay our respects, just to chill with him. Look at his teeny tiny feet. Have you ever noticed how tiny Sunny Eclipse's feet are? I never really noticed it. I never thought about it. But his little feet. Sunny Eclipse's little feet. It's very cute. Now, at this point, we had some time. We were like just hanging out, doing whatever. Didn't really have any rides we were desperate to go on. Like weren't really dying to go on a Peter Pan or anything like that. Had done the coasters that we wanted to do. And so to explain things, this was a trip, again, not booked by me, not a vacation. This was a work trip. So they, for the ticket that they give you for a work trip, again, I pay for my own annual pass. I pay for my own tickets. Usually this was specifically a work trip. For this, they assign you a park for each day because it's like a park reservation, and then they tie those freebie lightning lanes, which again, we love. Oh my God, what a gift. They tie those to the park reservation. We had a reservation the next day for Magic Kingdom. We didn't want to go to Magic Kingdom because we already did it all day. We wanted to change it to Animal Kingdom. And so we went to one of the guest services blue umbrella situations, and we were like, hey, we've tried to switch this on our end. We've tried to switch this at our hotel. There's something on the back end that's like bleep bloop. The go.com system will not let us do it. If you're like, you're specifically guest services, can I just run it by you to see if you're able to change it to Animal Kingdom? And so we were at that booth for quite a while, which was totally fine. Like, that's not a critique or anything. I'm just setting up what's about to happen next. Talking to this really sweet employee whose name I don't remember, but I did do a cast compliment, did many cast compliments on this trip. The cast was As always, above and beyond fantastic. We love cast members. We love you, cast members. But this person who was helping us, I forget their name. Again, I did a cast compliment. It's fine. I remembered it at the time. They were looking and they're like, yeah, you're going to have to come to Magic Kingdom tomorrow to check in and then leave, which I thought was going to happen. I mean, it cut into our time, but it was fine. We were at the Contemporary. We just had to walk all the way over and check in and then leave. But they offered. I didn't ask. They were like, you know, I can't change this. Like, you're going to have to come to Magic Kingdom. But is there anything I can do? Can I help you with some of your lightning lanes? Because on our last day, I purchased lightning lane. We had two freebies as provided, but they were only for Magic Kingdom. So if we weren't going to Magic Kingdom, those were kaput. So a few days before our trip, I bought Lightning Lane for each of us, and I booked Rock and Roller Coaster, and I booked Tower of Terror, and I think I booked Muppets. I was just trying to move things around. This person, this is like a bit of magic I did not expect. You cannot ask for. I don't know what happened. They were like, oh, well, if you don't want to come to Magic Kingdom, like, you, we're making you kind of come all the way here to check in, I can change those Magic Kingdom lightning lanes, the open-ended ones, to kind of whatever you want. And we were like, what? Huh? And so this kind, wonderful person was able to change these two lightning lanes that would have languished into Expedition Everest and Animal Kingdom, and a second for Slinky Dog Dash. The day that we walked into, the following day, was, like, I can't even like say this out loud, lightning lanes for Everest, Rock and Roller Coaster, Slinky Dog Dash, Muppets, and Tower of Terror. Never heard of, will never happen again. Will never happen again. Things just, again, broke the right way. And yes, we had an advantage. We had these random passes. But also, you can't really book like that. That's not how booking, like, you can't book that yourself regardless. You, like, can't. You, like, physically can't do that. And it made our trip. And it actually really helped because we did walk all the way into Magic Kingdom. We ended up taking some, like, cutie Magic Kingdom photos. We left and ended up, like, it takes, you know, like 45 minutes to, like, do all that and check in, go through security, yada, yada, yada. So it was incredible. We were riding this high knowing that the next day was going to be banging. So we decided to just go to Casey's Corner and get corn dog nuggets. And I got a Chicago style hot dog, which, let me tell you, that just meant there was a lot of relish on it. There was nary a sport pepper to be found. Still delicious, thrilling, happy. We had cheese fries. It was just a wonderful end to a wonderful, wonderful day. And then we woke up the next day and we were like, get dressed. We're getting out of here. Dump the bags at the front. We have so much theme park to fit in. The way I booked this trip was that I knew it was a one-day Disney Cruise Line event, but I was bringing a friend. So I wanted to, listen, if I'm going for two nights, I'm gonna be maximizing my theme park time. And so we flew the first flight out in the morning and the last flight home at night. That's how we were able to squeeze 48 hours in. We went to Magic Kingdom, as I said. Jamie and I rolled up in, like, cartoon version of ourselves outfits. Like, we never discussed it again. And, like, everyone kept being like, oh, ladies, your outfits. And we were like, this is so silly. These are just our normal clothes. We went to Magic Kingdom. We took an Uber to Animal Kingdom. We get there. We walk in. The bird show starts 2 minutes later. 2 minutes later. And if you've never seen the bird show that happens in front of Animal Kingdom, where all the birds fly, I'm blanking on it. What is the name? Okay, I'm going to look it up. 1 second. Winged Encounters, The Kingdom Takes Flight. Listen, I'm jet lagged. I should know the name of that. But if you really want a view of how tired I am deep inside my body right now, I Googled Animal Kingdom Bird Show by Tree. Animal Kingdom Bird Show by Tree. That's what I Googled to find it. And if you haven't seen this, check the schedule the next time you're in Disney World. This is such a sleeper hit. If you're scared of birds, run the other way. Do not. Like, heed my warning. Look at the times. If you love birds, if you love being delighted, go to this show. If you don't like birds, do not plan around this. Go hide in Starbucks or something. Do not come to this because they fly out of freaking nowhere. They just show up and boom, they land in front of the tree. And it is majestic and I love it. And they basically, this is what I love about it. They just feel like somebody's pet. They show up, they land, they're trained, they nibble, they get a bunch of really delicious snacks, and then they are out. They are gone. They leave there. They get their little treat and they're like, bye-bye, I'm done working. And I love a clock in, clock out. I love these birds for it. It is fantastic. Now, I, during this, was like so delighted to show Jamie this. We were having a great time. And I'm like, Jamie, take my picture for the birds, because I was just so amped. And Jamie got this photo. I'm like looking at it right now. She got this photo of a bird flying directly over my head, staring into the camera, like, hello, just looking. It is, I'm going to have to post it for this episode. It was just a moment of bliss, a moment of true bliss. Jamie and I then went to Expedition Everest. We had 1 hour for Animal Kingdom. Again, time blindness. Who is she? I was operating like a factory in this Disney World trip. I knew exactly how long it was. Like, if we book an Uber now, we'll be able to get there. We can stop for the bird show, and then we'll have exactly 40 minutes. We'll be able to go to Everest. We'll stop in the store on the way back, and then we will leave. And that is exactly how it played out. We went on Everest. So much fun. So much fun to go on that with someone who, again, doesn't know what's happening. But especially to compare, like, that used to be, Expedition Everest used to be the thrill ride to take new Disney people on and be like, you don't know what's going to happen. Hey, you don't know what's going to happen. And judging that against Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, which we now have, it's just that feeling leveled up like 3 or 4 levels. It's so fun to take people on these rides and not tell them what's going to happen and just experience the first ride for someone. It's just so special because you could never know what's going to happen on either of those. And both of them are so different, but both such incredible experiences. We walked out. We had an extra 7 minutes. So I actually was like, Jamie, we should just go see Pandora. And we walked in and we were like, cool, mountains. And then we left. Perfect. Just like checked it off the list on the way out. Took an Uber to Hollywood Studios and again, exactly lined up our time. I worked backwards the night before. I made a little schedule and was like, here's when we have to leave for the airport. Here's when we have to leave the park. Here's when we have to do this. We nailed it. Nailed all of it. We got to Hollywood Studios and this was like Jamie's spirit park. We both love vintage stuff. We both love Los Angeles. We love living here. We love old LA. We love LA culture. And being able to walk a friend like that into the Brown Derby, into Muppet Vision 3D, like walk past the homage to the Chinese Theater, which is like a very real place that we go to in LA. We were literally next to that a week or two ago for a big Gilmore Girls, Etoile, Amy Sherman Palladino panel. Like this is the place we live and this is a representation of it in the park. And it was so cool to be there with her, with an LA friend and experience it. I was not expecting that I'd have another chance to say goodbye to Muppet Vision 3D. So it was really nice to be like, oh, I already paid my respects, but I get to just enjoy it one last time. One last little time, which was so, it was really special. It was really special to take in the details and especially be there with someone who's so artistic and creative and who like wanted to stop and look at the posters, which I kind of breeze past usually. To sort of focus on those details was really, really nice. Also, I feel comfortable saying something now. This is going to be very, we listen and we don't judge. We listen and we don't judge. Muppet Vision 3D is worse for Waldo's inclusion in it. And I know there are people who love Muppet Vision 3D, top to bottom, left to right. But I'm sorry, every time that evil blob is on camera, I want to walk out the Kermit line door. I don't want to be there. I think that he is the worst. He ruins the vibe. Just give me my Muppets 3D. I just want to see Fozzie close to my face. I just want to see Gonzo turn. And it's like, bah! Like, I just want Beaker. I want everyone. I just want everyone to be there. I want Miss Piggy singing. I don't want this dude in my movie with my friends. He's a hanger-on. Oh my God, he's the Olumel. Oh my God, he's the Olumel of the Muppets. And I know that I have forgiven Olumel. And now Olumel is one of my child's favorite toys. And she plays with him all the time. And I am an Olumel fan now. We have changed. We've grown. We accept Olumel, especially when we get called out on mic on our podcast from the people who created it. Then we have to accept Olumel. However, Waldo, never going to get that treatment. Never. Even in time when we're like, Muppet Vision 3D, we miss you so much. Never. Waldo, you're dead to me. You're the only thing I want to see go away. Everything else, Muppet Vision 3D, perfect, 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 perfect. Perfect, perfect. I also hope that you didn't turn off my podcast and you're still listening. And if you agree, listen, say it loud, say it proud. I don't like Waldo. I just want to see my friends. I don't want to see him. He's annoying and he gets in the way. And I just want to see all the gold. All my guys and gals, you know? I just want to see all my guys and gals. I don't want to deal with him. We walked out of the Muppet Vision 3D to the two people who are still listening. My mother and my friend Julia, who listens and is not a Disney person. Hello, Julia. Jamie and I walked out and we ran into a PhotoPass photographer who was like, hey, by the way, I'm not stationed here. I can just roam with you. So then we low-key got like a Muppets courtyard photo shoot from this person. Again, cast compliment. Like, was just doling him out left and right. Everyone deserved them. We got these beautiful photos in front of the Miss Piggy fountain, beautiful photos by the Kermit clock that we're going to cherish forever. It was excellent. I went to get more souvenir coins over by Pizza Rizzo. Again, make sure to do that before it closes or have someone, if you know someone who's going, to do that. The machine closed early on when I went for Muppet Prom. I talked about this on the podcast at some point. Alicia Stella, our Lord and Savior, Alicia Stella, sent me a set of coins so I would have them. So I just got a few extra to have in case I lose them, just to have them to pass down to Pearl, whatever, just to have them to lock in the memory. We got to say goodbye to Pizza Rizzo. We got popcorn and then began the rest of the shenanigans. We went to Slinky Dog Dash, which I want to say, this is anecdotal, but Slinky Dog Dash, the hardest lightning lane to book at this park and probably one of the top two most difficult ones to book for Disney World overall. Slinky Dog Dash's lightning lane had nobody in it. And it was really strange because the line was so long. I mean, it was, you know, that line is can be bananas. It was maybe between an hour and 2 hours, but it was long. We walked through and there was not another soul in line. There was like one person who was already going through. It wasn't backed up at all. So are they just restricting? Like, I don't understand. Like, they can definitely add more people to Lightning Lane for this. And I'm sure they would make more money because more people would want to be buying it. It just seemed odd to me that we, no other ride was like this. Like, we waited like 20 times longer for Muppet Vision 3D. And yeah, that's a theater. But like, we just literally walked on. We didn't stop walking. We walked, sat. It was really bizarre and something I haven't experienced on Slinky Dog Dash in a while. I haven't been on that ride in a minute. It's not something I personally prioritize. When I go to the park lately, I don't go to Hollywood Studios as much. And when I do, I don't book Lightning Lanes there. I book Lightning Lanes at Magic Kingdom and at Epcot usually. However, something I noticed. And then Jamie and I went to Sci-Fi Dine-In. Oh my God. We were deciding between 50s Primetime and Sci-Fi Dine-In, but listen, my little LA vintage girly, I had to take her there. And I made these silly little memes that I put online. And I just think we don't discuss enough how you are basically eating with a stranger's family when you're sitting in those little cars. We like sat down. We were like, yeah, we're gonna take our pictures. We're gonna have so much fun. Like, we were just enjoying the movies. And then like, we were a part of another couple's family, like involved in their conversation. We were basically sitting with them. It's a little strange, right? It's a little strange. And I will not say more negative stuff about this venue because I think it's perfect and it's heaven and it exists nowhere else and there is no repeatability when it comes to this place. Like, we have this or we don't, and I would rather sit with the strange man and his child. Not he was strange, he's strange to me, I don't know him, but the man and his child right behind me who were, I'm gonna say it, coughing a little too much for my comfort while we were all eating our little burgers. But I it's worth it. It's worth it for this. Also, the seating here is so funny that it's like the cars and there's like the family table and then there's the sad walk-up tables in back. Like, couldn't they just make, couldn't they just give everyone a car? A lot of cars were empty. Like, give the walk-up people a car. And I'm sure there's a reason why they don't, but fantastic, fantastic time. We had burgers, we had onion rings. We watched the movies. Once you watch the whole way through, then you're like, I think it's time to go. And we just had like sodas and hung out and it was so lovely. It was the best ladies' lunch. It was really a good time. And I don't want to talk too much about being on top of people's family because sitting in that car is just so, it's one of the few kind of time machines you can do to your brain to go back to retro Disney is going to Sci-Fi Dine-In. But it's something about it just really like tickles your brain in the old Disney way. And I just think it's so special. And I'm so glad we got to eat there. Also, a lot of reservations available. So if you're planning a trip, just lock that one in. You never know. All I'm saying is it's dangerously close. It's dangerously close to Muppet's Courtyard. I don't know any intel. If I did, I would probably blab about it because this audience would care so much. But just keep that in mind. Like, I was sitting there being like, ooh, this is a big old space and it's real close to Muppet's Courtyard. And I know we got another D23 coming around the corner. I know we got a Destination D23 coming this year. Just going to keep it in mind. Like, I, again, you want to do stuff before it's too late. Always. I always stress this for so many experiences. You never know. You never know with Disney these days. So if you love something, if something means something to you, prioritize it on your next trip. This place I'm going to be prioritizing because it is a big building. And also, it's just so cute. It's so cute and it's not tied to IP. That's why you got to prioritize it. That's why. We did a walk around. We did Tower of Terror. We ended up not having time for Rock and Roller Coaster because we were on that tight schedule. I guess I did goof a little, but we ended up having a few extra minutes and I went to Joffrey's again. I got a Shaken Jamaican, which I ran into Molly, who some of you probably know from All Years, now from Mammoth Club. Molly's husband, Alan, who's also in Mammoth Club. I ran into him in the Joffrey's line that morning. I told you I had a lot of Joffrey's on this trip. I ran into him and he was like, oh yeah, I'm getting some Shaky Jamaicans for Molly and I. And I was like, what is that? Because I always see it on the menu and I thought it was iced coffee with three different syrups poured in. No, it's just flavored iced coffee like I get at Priscilla's in LA, which I always talk about. Like, it's like flavored, but it's not syrup flavored. It's just flavored coffee. And I got it at the park. Alan was right. I will do anything Alan says now. I trust him implicitly because it was so good. It's my new favorite drink. And you don't have to wait in line for 45 minutes at Starbucks, which ain't too bad. We went back to the hotel, we changed, and we headed to the airport where we didn't have ice cream all day and we were kind of bummed about it. There's a soft serve place at MCO. Freshens, got some soft serve. Saw a couple walk past and they were like, "Where did you get that?" Then we saw them again. They had soft serve, kind of paid it forward. Was a really nice moment. And the trip was exceptional. That's everything we did. There is one tidbit I left out until a few days later when I was unpacking my bags. And I was like, great, where are my AirPods? Lost them at the Contemporary. Their last found location was the porte cochere. I don't know if they fell out when I got my bags. I don't know if they fell out when I was going in the car. I have like photos of me that I've kind of looked at, like I'm on CSI. Like, does it look like my AirPods are falling out of the pocket? Oh, they maybe were in my shirt pocket and I bent over. Either way, the Contemporary Resort has absorbed my AirPods and I took my husband's, so now I have a pair. Don't worry, he took my other ones. The AirPods Pro, by the way, the fancy AirPods, like the new ones, do you know that they make some people nauseous? I only know this because I bought them because I was joined a co-working space and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not used to working around people. And I have, again, debilitating ADHD. I put them in my ears and I turned on the noise canceling thing and I got really nauseous, like dizzy and nauseous. And I Googled it. It's a thing. The noise canceling makes certain people nauseous. So I gave him the fancy ones and I took his old ones. Perfect. Heaven. Fantastic. The trip was great. I do miss my AirPods. We had so much fun. And again, we built this around the Disney Destiny. Like we were there for something that was already so fun. And we just jammed in as much fun as we could. That's how I like to do it. I like to squeeze all the juice out, as you're going to hear in next week's episode also. And a few more, because I have hinted it, but there's a lot of travel coming this summer. There's a lot of travel. We got Epic Universe on the horizon. We have my Japan episode on the horizon. We have another Disney trip I have not spoken about on the horizon. So get excited. Stay tuned. If you have any questions about jamming in a bunch of time in a Disney World, let me know. And maybe I'm watching too many reels and TikTok videos like this, so I'm a little brainwashed. But if you are like, I only have one day to go to a Disney park, I only really have 2 days, one night, I can maximize it. Do it. The joy that you will get out of a quick trip at Disney is better than none at all. I highly advise. Why not? You know, you only live once. You get one life. If you're like, if you can make it happen, if you can do it, and it doesn't have too much impact on your life, and it doesn't have too much impact on your finances, why not? Go ahead and take the trip. Again, let me know if you have any Disney World questions. I love you all. I spoke for way longer on Disney World than I intended to, and I'll talk to you soon. See you next week. Bye.
You've created a cool indoor retreat. Now let Mountain Air Comfort Systems provide the quiet and energy-efficient comfort you can depend on with a range of innovative cooling solutions like the Carrier Infinity Heat Pump that delivers premium home heating and cooling performance. Learn more at mountainairmobile.com. You make it a home. Let Mountain Air Comfort Systems make it more comfortable. Rebates, incentives, and financing are available for a limited time. Mountain Air Comfort Systems and Carrier. Turn to the experts.
Hey Carly, my name is Lucy. I'm from Elk Grove, California. First of all, love the pod. I had a question for you. Do you have any resources about traveling to the parks when you have a disability? I recently started using a cane and, you know, I've navigated Disney World back in 2023 with my cane and ended up having to rent an ECV, but I didn't know if you knew any more resources about traveling with mobility needs. And also, have you ever been on a trip with someone with mobility needs? Anyways, thank you so much for everything you do and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for this call. And I will be honest with you, this is my second time recording a reply because the first time I just spent 6 minutes yelling about the changes to Disney's DAS system or Disability Access Service. I am upset about it. I'm upset that there are people who need accommodations and cannot get them. That is how I feel about it. And I will stand behind it. I will not subject you to 6 minutes of me yelling about it. However, that is something I need to get out at the top of this call response. Now, this is an episode I have wanted to do for a very, very long time. But to be frank with you, I thought Disney was going to roll back their DAS changes. The word of mouth was so bad, people are so upset about it. And I'm a member of this Facebook group called Disney DAS Defenders. There's 20,000 or so people in it. And all of them are exchanging basically like, okay, I'll roll back a little. So Disney DAS, Disability Access Service, is something that Disney World and Disneyland provide for certain people. I'm going to say that broadly because of what I'm about to say next, for certain people to have access, more expedited access to the rides. Disney changed it somewhat recently, and they really limited the purview of it. And there are a lot of people who used to have DAS and no longer do, people who used to qualify and no longer qualify. And in this Facebook group, there's a lot of conversations of a lot of people who really kind of need the accommodation and can't get it. It is really bad. The word of mouth on it has been so bad. I'm sure you've seen TikToks on it of people talking about it. I'm sure if you're a Disney fan, you know what I'm talking about. I thought because the response was so negative, they were going to pull it back. And I was waiting to do our episode for that. And the fact is, they haven't pulled it back. I mean, I'm in this Facebook group like every 4 or 5 days. And it's really hard. It's really upsetting to read some of these accounts of families who just decide that they can't even go to Disney because without a certain accommodation, it's really, really hard for them. And it is really hard to go to Disney World in the first place. So I absolutely get it. And I feel for them. Now, I was waiting on doing this episode for that, but you are absolutely right. And I'm so appreciative that you called because clearly it's been more than a minute and they haven't changed Disability Access Service. So I think it is time to put this episode forward after we finish all of our Epic Universe wrap-up and I have a chunk of time to effectively research this. I've talked to my friend Kelly about doing an episode like this before and even having her on to speak as a local Orlando parent of an autistic child. Hi, Kelly, if you're listening. Hi, Asher, if you're listening. I love you, Asher. And Kelly, but I mean, listen, Asher's so cute. I have to give Asher a special shout-out. I love you, Asher. Okay, anyway, enough of saying hi to my friends and their children. I wanted to have Kelly on for a while to do an episode, and I wanted to make sure it includes everything anyone would need so that if you or a friend or a coworker or a family member have a certain question about anything from like getting around to making sure that a loved one is comfortable in the park, it's all in one episode and easy to share and send with people. That is something that I am going to do in the next few months. You have my word. I genuinely apologize that it has taken so long. I just thought that the DAS stuff was so grim that they were going to expand it to let more people have access to DAS like they used to. And it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. I don't know. All I'm going to say, again, I'm not going to yell for another 6 minutes. All I'm going to say is if the new policy is that if someone needs to use the bathroom, they can leave the queue and then meet back up with their family. Anybody who's been to a Disney park knows that does not work. It doesn't work like that. The queues are like in multiple buildings. Like it's so hard to find. You can't find someone in a queue. That's like an escape room level type of challenge. So again, I won't yell about it, but the episode will be coming in the next few months. Thank you so much. And if you personally have anything to add, or if anyone has a little voice note they want to call into the Churros hotline with from their experience of honestly anything, I'm talking food allergies, wheelchairs, anything you think might be helpful for someone listening to that episode. I'm going to break it up into chapters by different things so it's easy to parse out. Give me a call at 747-CHURROS, honestly, anytime between now and June, and I will do my best to include either your personal testimony or the information that you provide me within that. I will be doing a lot of research and talking to a lot of people for that one. So I thank you in advance. I thank you for this call, and I apologize for that episode not coming sooner because... Can you believe they're telling people to leave lives to go to the bathroom? Can you believe that? Okay, thank you so much for your call. I thank you for listening. And yeah, that's all. Okay, bye. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to this silly little recap of my 48 hours in Walt Disney World. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts or rate and follow us on Spotify. Spotify also has commenting, which I'm able to see now, but I'm not really able to, like, I can't reply to, but please know when I see your comments, I'm like, and I'm like reacting in my brain and in real life, but I can't actually tell you. It's like a weird one-way conversation, but it's like sending mail. It's like sending mail, and then I open it, and I'm like, oh my God, a thank you card, or like, ooh, like a holiday card, but you don't like send a thank you note back for a holiday. Anyway, I love seeing your comments. I think that's probably a more straightforward way of saying that. You can give us a call at 747-CHURROS about truly anything having to do with theme parks or travel or packing or motherhood or life. I love getting a call and I love responding to it. So keep them coming. We have a bunch that we got while I was out of town, which I am, sometimes I save certain calls for certain episodes. I'm saving a Japan call for the Japan episode, but please keep them coming. I would love to, talk to you. I'd love to know what you're thinking. And if you have any like strong thoughts about Disney stuff and like your friends and family are tired of you talking about it, call me. I want to hear it. You can follow me at Carly Bizell across the internet. And you can join I'm still jet lagged. And you can join the family at facebook.com/group/CarlyYZell. Wow, can't even get the words out today. Subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month at Carly Bizell on Instagram. It is fun. I'm just chatting up a storm in there. I post a lot of stories just exclusively to subscribers, and it's really fun. It's nice to have a little community, a little circle, a little friend thing. If you have any travels coming up to Disney Parks, Universal, or beyond, as always, reach out to MouseFan Travel or MEI Travel, their parent company, for all your Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, Universal, Disney Travel, anything needs. Their travel agents are happy to help. Let them know I sent you. I adore them. You know this. You know I adore Becky. Now, Becky's like part of our podcast, which makes me feel like a big deal because Becky is also on Lou Mangiello's podcast. Lou Mangiello is like the king of Disney podcasting. To even like the fact that like Lou knows who I am still blows my mind. And now we like share mutual friends. It's so bizarre. Wow. I just love the Disney community. This episode was edited deliriously by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Oh my goodness. Disney's new Destiny ship. I am beyond excited for the new ship. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Disney's new Cruella de Vil piano bar. That is not only the most amazing thing, but you get to see and dance with Cruella de Vil. This is so exciting, and I love a piano bar. And the Doctor Strange live bar, I would love to go in there as well. Disney has a Hercules musical that I love nothing more than going to a wonderful dinner and then sitting and relaxing watching a musical or a play. What a fantastic night. I love that. The Disney Destiny Grand Hall, oh my gosh, it's so cool. Even Mickey had on the cutest outfit I've ever seen. This ship, the Disney Destiny, looks so enticing and so spectacular that I hope I go on the ship real soon. It's clean, it's fun, and so many things to see and explore. I cannot wait. Wow, Carly. I love it. I love you, and I love Pearl, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.